Hello, and welcome to this bumper edition of Cromford's Casual Collection. In this edition, consider the most crucial band in the history of rock. Lament the cabin fever at Mrs. Eastworth's. And hear the latest developments from Cromford's studio. So, third things first. In CCC 4, I played you an expanded and refined version of the overture to my moon-themed song cycle, The Ancient Pool. Well, it's been refined a bit more. And now it segues into the opening song, which is a little prelude called Phoebe Alone. Would you like to hear a rough mix of everything so far?
No!
Excellent. From the ineffable. A tiny point of energy explodes. And is now a universe. In sudden, stupendous space, gases gather, cosmic crumbs coalesce, matter draws matter. Whirling galaxies agglomerate as stars take shape. Other objects form in attendance on certain stars, planets and planetary satellites. One such planet is the Earth. One such satellite is the Moon. See them now as very young worlds, children in a young solar system. Listen now to the song of the moon.
Born in a furnace, hotter than flame, spinning and cooling, rock with no name. Who is my sister? Blue, green, and white. How does she see me, sundered by night? Sundered by night. She, the bright bauble, I, a dull stone. She with the blessings I've never known. Always eyes towards her, my stricken face. How does she feel me swinging through space? Swinging through space.
And that will lead into the second song, which I haven't started production on yet. Obviously, those vocals are just place markers until I've got a decent studio environment for singing properly in. But it's all shaping up nicely in the instruments department. The most crucial band in rock history? Not the Beatles, I'm afraid. If those chaps had never existed, we'd all have Beatle-shaped gaps in our collections. But that's all. As it transpires, for all their great talent, they were a stylistic dead end. But the group I'm featuring in this programme was pivotal in the history of pop and rock. If at least six of these eight fellas had never existed, our music collections from the 60s to the 90s would be much thinner, and without their influence, many other music careers would have turned out very different. The first five-piece lineup of this band formed in 1963, and their first lead guitarist dropped out after a few months. Without further ado, here's the lineup with their second lead guitarist. Who are they?
Here they are, one by one. The drums, Jim McCarty. The rhythm guitar, Chris Dreyer. The bass, Paul Samuel Smith. Lead guitar, Eric Slohan Clapton. The singer and harp, Keith Rowe. You can buy gold shots, you can pay me next week. Too much money, too much money, too much money.
The Yardbirds. Heard there covering Chuck Berry's Too Much Monkey Business in 1964. They emerged from the London-based R&B scene that also nurtured the Rolling Stones. But the Yardbirds were a better live band, a darker and murkier recording band, and always more experimental. Mick Jagger was glad to pour himself into any jelly mould that his target audience expected of him. You could never say that about Keith Relf. Eric Clapton left the band in 1965 because they were becoming a bit too pop for his tastes. The blues man was never far from the surface with him, as these very familiar segments will remind you. Cream, Derek and the Dominoes, Clapton solo.
You.
read the signs to tell me which way I should go to find the answer. And all the time I know, plant your love and let it grow.
Let it grow, let it grow. Let it blossom, let it flow. In the sun, the rain, the snow.
There's nothing left to show. Plant your love and let it grow.
Let it grow, let it grow. Let it blossom, let it flow. In the sun, the rain, the snow.
Clapton gradually established himself as a national institution, of course, but what of his old bandmates, the Yardbirds? They replaced him in 1965 with an altogether more innovative guitarist, Jeff Beck. Here's their single from early 1966, Shapes of Things.
Shapes of things before my eyes, just teach me to despise.
Now here's a track from their only studio LP, Roger the Engineer as it's now known, The Nazza Blue.
think I'll paint it blue.
Incidentally, Philadelphia-based power pop quartet The Nazz took their name from that track, and The Nazz proved to be the springboard to fame for one Todd Rundgren, so there's a sort of sideswipe influence by the Yardbirds. Shortly after the recording of that album, bass player Paul Samwell Smith left the band. He went on to become a record producer, and not just a journeyman. He masterminded the evolution of Cat Stevens from Tin Pan Alley popster to serious singer-songwriter, fostered Stevens' immense success during the early 70s with albums like Tea for the Tillerman and Teaser and the Firecat, and found himself in demand for the next couple of decades. He's produced Carly Simon, Jethro Tull, The Amazing Blondell, and Beverly Craven, remember her, among others. Back in 1966, who replaced him on bass guitar in the Yardbirds? Yet another lead guitarist, that's who. You might have heard of him. Jimmy Page. When Chris Dreher switched from rhythm guitar to bass, Page joined Jeff Beck on the front line, and when Beck was eventually fired in late 66, Page became the Yardbirds' sole lead guitarist. And what happened to Beck?
You're everywhere and nowhere, baby. That's where you're at.
He formed the Jeff Beck Group, had that hit you know so well, and indirectly fostered the singing career of one of his bandmates, a strepsil-voiced chap name of Rod Stewart. Some years later, he formed a supergroup of sorts with Tim Bogert and Carmine Appice from Vanilla Fudge. Here they are on their only album in 1973, Lady. We'll be right back. Much of Beck's career has been as a solo artist, always trying new styles of music, new ways of playing. If you think of him primarily as a blues rocker, this one will startle you. Two Rivers, from his 1989 album Guitar Shop. We'll resume this story in a few minutes. Meanwhile, the confines of Mrs. Eastworth's bathroom are the stage for high-tension drama. Joe kicks on Route 66. It winds through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri.
lots of other places I don't give a shit about. In Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Flagstaff, Arizona. I can't see the point of driving any further.
Mr. Giggleswick?
Well, I ain't Roberta Flack.
Are you going to be much longer?
Now, where have I heard that before? Don't rightly know, Frosty.
Well, are you decent?
Two or three folks have thought so.
Can I come in?
Well, there's no bolt, and I ain't stopping you.
I don't call that decent.
Lighten up, short stuff. I ain't got nothing you ain't got.
I need to clean me teeth.
Go ahead. Don't mind me.
I don't know why you're doing all this shaving now. You know I always come straight up here after breakfast. You know I always have the bathroom from 8:30.
Can't say I've noticed.
You've been here for at least 12 weeks, which is how long I've been stuck here. You know damn well what my routine is.
Oh, yeah. How is the house hunting going?
Never you mind, you grinning rapscallion.
Tell me something. What kind of cockamamie bonehead lays wall-to-wall carpet in a bathroom? Don't you soak your shag pile?
If you can't climb out of a bath in a civilized manner, it's a pity.
Gee, sorry I asked. Your mom sure likes to sing, don't she?
She always sings when she's washing up.
Yeah. Be nice if she could learn another tune. Or get that one right.
Oh, there's a music critic now.
Come again?
If it upsets you so much, why don't you just do us all a favour and shut off?
Hey, hey. Watch where you're blowing all that froth. I'm gonna need another bath at this rate.
I wish you would. I wish you'd make yourself all shriveled and pruny. I wish you'd shrivel yourself down the plug hole and leave us alone.
Hey, Frosty. Case you hadn't noticed, your mom likes me.
Stop that Frosty rubbish. I'm Mr. Eastworth to you. And she doesn't like you so much as your money.
Nah, she thinks I'm cute. I get up ladders and fix things for her.
One of these days I'm going to wipe that grin off your... Just a minute. What's this?
What?
This bit of the shelf is mine. What's this jar doing here? I've never seen it before.
Oh, that belongs to me.
What is it? Unpronounceable name. Oh, not to be taken orally. What are they?
Now why don't you just take a look, Mr. Nosy?
Well, they look like big soft jelly beans, so I suppose they...
Yeah, suppose is almost right.
Oh dear, how unpleasant for you.
Yep.
How long have you had this trouble?
It goes all the way back to my years in the saddle, riding around Arizona. It's an occupational hazard.
They look very big, those things. Do they cause you much discomfort?
Not since I found a better way of delivering them to where they should go.
Better? Better than what?
Better than these huge weathered fingers of mine.
So how'd you do it then?
Well, I find that the bristly end of a toothbrush does the job.
A toothbrush? But we only gave you one toothbrush. There isn't a spare one.
That's right. That's right.
No. No, you haven't.
What?
You haven't. Tell me you haven't.
Haven't I? Flash them pearly whites, Frosty.
Are you two all right up there? Don't be uncouth in front of Mr. Giggleswick. good lad.
Okay. You could probably see that one coming. But it was just too much to resist. Anyway, back to the main feature. The Yardbirds ran out of commercial steam in early 1967 and disbanded. Chris Drea turned his hand to photography, but the others stayed with the music business. Jimmy Page eventually put together a new Yardbirds. And if you don't know who they had become by 1969, well... Led Zeppelin. Pioneers of heavy metal, makers of 8 studio albums, one of them a double, in 10 years, earners of more gold, platinum and diamond disc awards than you can thrust an overcompensatory pelvis at. Try to imagine the history of guitar rock without them. Go on. Meanwhile, Keith Relf and Jim McCarty recorded together as a duo, calling themselves Together. Here's their 1968 single, Henry's Coming Home.
coming home. Wonder if he found it. He just telephoned. Think he must have found it. He wants to live in the village where he started out. He knows what life's about in the city.
In 1969, Ralph McCarty and Ralph's sister Jane formed the nucleus of a new classical progressive outfit, Renaissance. Here's part of a track from their eponymous first album, incidentally produced by Paul Samwell Smith. This is Innocence. Renaissance gained and lost musicians until not a single founder member was left. The lineup that had a hit in 1978 with Northern Lights is unrecognisable compared to the 1969 lineup, but one would never have existed without the other. By 1973, Jim McCarty was leading his own band, Shoot, and supplying keyboards and vocals as well as drums. Here are Shoot on their only album, also eponymous, with McCarty's own composition, Ships and Sails. Years later, and a year after the tragic death of Keith Relf, McCarty and Jane Relf were the nucleus of the band Illusion. Here he is singing his own joint composition, Solo Flight. Ringo, is he? What else did the most surprising member of the Yardbirds get up to? Well, in 1987 he was making New Age music under the moniker Stairway, again with Jane Relf on board. Here's Aquamarine. Thank you. here's a really weird one. McCarty formed the band Pilgrim in 1995 and wrote all the music on both of their albums. Here he is reciting Keats's La Belle Dame sans Merci on the 1996 album Gothic Dream.
A lady in the meads, full beautiful, a fairy's child. Her hair was long, her foot was light, and her eyes were wild. I set her on my pacing steed, and nothing else saw all day long. The sidelong would she bend and sing a fairy's song. She found me roots of relish sweet, and honey wild and manna dew, and sure in language strange she said, I love thee true. She lulled me asleep, and there I dreamed, ah, woe betide, the latest dream I ever dreamed on the cold hillside. I saw pale kings and princes too, pale warriors, death pale were they all. They cried, La Belle Dame sans Merci hath thee enthralled. I saw their starved lips in the gloam, with horrid warning gaped wide. And I awoke and found me here, on the cold hillside.
In 2009, McCarty released the second of two solo albums, that is, albums under his own name. Here's the title track.
Sitting on the top of time.
So, to recap, without the people who made up the Yardbirds, there would have been no Cream, no Solo Clapton, no Jeff Beck Group, no Beck, Bogart and Appice, no Renaissance, none of Jim McCarty's intriguing solo experiments, and no Led Zeppelin. The careers of Rod Stewart, Cat Stevens, Jane Relph, Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker would have been dramatically different and might never have even got off the ground. I'll leave the last word to Jim McCarty, Chris Dreher and Paul Samwell Smith, who reunited briefly in the mid-1980s under the name Box of Frogs. Here's the opening track of their eponymous first album in 1984, aptly titled Back Where I Started. And that about wraps up this edition of Cromford's Casual Collection. I hope you enjoyed it. The next one's out on the 17th of December, the special festive edition. No idea what's going to be in it yet, so it's going to be a journey of discovery for both of us. In the meantime, stay all those positive things and shun all those negative ones. Bye for now. Cromford's Casual Collection was conceived, assembled and presented by me, Paul Cromford. I don't own any of the music featured in this programme except for the opening music, the closing music and the ancient pool music. This was a Paul Cromford production for Looking at You, Kid.